Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? Man, this has been a time that none of us have ever been in before. Today, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about this COVID-19. The COVID-19, the virus that is affecting the world, but primarily really how it's affecting us and our everyday life and just things that we are all facing and going through, and changes that we're having to make in our everyday life that's a little out of the norm than what we were all used to. Now, I'm not gonna get into statistics or anything as far as, you know, how many people die when they get COVID, how many people get sick when they get COVID, how many recoveries you have, things of that nature. The simple fact is that this virus is just about invisible. So until they come up with a vaccine, there isn't gonna be anything that's gonna really stop the virus from you contracting a virus if it's in your presence or within your proximity of where you could be. So that being said, again, you just have to continue to take the safety measures that the CDC requires and recommends that you do. And then you have to take care of your own personal hygiene as well, right? So you got to make sure you're keeping your hands clean. You're trying to not allow yourself to touch your mouth and your eyes and things like that. But again, the most important thing is keeping your hands clean, keeping yourself healthy, eating well, taking your vitamins, doing things you got to do to keep your immune system strong enough that it can fight this virus if it comes and you don't accept it into your proximity. Now, one thing I can notice throughout this time is that, again, you have a lot of people with the uproar of, you know, not wearing the mask, not having social distancing and the importance of social distancing, things of that nature. And, you know, I'll say this. I personally, I'm not a big fan of the mask. But I understand the importance of it. It's not so much just myself protecting myself, but it's the potential of being able to protect someone else if I had the virus, not knowing that I had the virus. And that's the scariest thing about this virus, guys, is that sometimes you don't even know that you have it. You can be asymptomatic and be carrying the virus and not realize it, and you could be passing it on to other people. So again, wearing the mask, I totally get that. And I believe that's really important that we do. As far as social distancing, I mean, I think for the most part, everyone should be able to keep their own personal space and their space as it is. So when you have your own personal space as it is, all you're doing is extending that maybe 3 more feet, right? So I consider my personal space about 3 feet within front of me. You know, I feel that no one should really be in that space after that, unless I invite them into that space, obviously. So when you think of the 6 foot rule, or where they're asking for you to be 6 foot social distance, shouldn't be too hard. And I can say for myself personally, the people that I've seen throughout the community, I've probably seen more people doing the right thing than I do see people doing the wrong thing. So I see more people wearing the mask. I see more people kind of respecting people's distance and the space within where they are. My family and I, we went down to Ocean City, Maryland. And then same thing, you know, when we're down there, everyone's being patient. Everyone's keeping their own personal space. We're able to enjoy our family and the people, our family and the ones that we're with. But again, everyone's kind of already doing that. And in theory, most people were doing that as it was. And the biggest thing that I'm finding is that is the people that are fighting it or going against it, and they're going by the statistics of not many people die from it. But when you say not many people die from it, you still have over 200,000 people in the U.S. that has died from COVID-19. I can say from personal experience, my uncle was one of those statistics and one of those numbers. And I know numerous people that have lost people to COVID-19 and to the COVID virus, the coronavirus. And I believe that, you know, you have to take it serious. I mean, 200 plus thousand people dying from a virus, whether they had other complicated issues or other things that were going on. Again, this virus, whatever you have that can be a predetermined condition that you may already had, this just kind of expedites the process of it, and it takes away your ability to fight off whatever it was that you were already fighting, right? So it's very likely that someone that does have these type of pre-existing conditions, they could find themselves in a tough spot with this virus, right? So we want to take it serious, right? Again, I know the numbers are low. I know they say, oh, well, kids don't really get it, this, that, and the other, and kids respond back from it. That is all true. That is all that is that's been proven, that's been seen, and that we kind of know that. But it's still something that you don't want to bring into your household. It's still something you don't want to bring into your family or to someone that's an elder statesman in your house. So that being said, I mean, within that, though, you still have to be able to live, right? You still have to be able to get out. You still have to be able to, you know, live your life. But now as we live our life, we just have to live it in a different way, guys. That's just very simple, right? That's just what we're dealing with, right? You have to live your life in a different way. And most of us were probably already living our life in a safer way to begin with. But now it's just it's a little bit more brought to us a little bit more, right? It's a little more in our face. It's a little more being even more aware of how important it is to keep our hands clean and disinfecting our hands and keeping our areas clean and disinfecting the areas that we can keep clean and protecting each other by wearing our masks and keeping our distance. All these things are things that, you know, we kind of already knew, but now it just kind of adds another layer to it that we just got to be aware of. And we want to make sure that we're going to stay on top of that. So again, guys, with the COVID, you know, you just want to think about how it's affecting human life. And then we want to talk about the family and how it's affecting the family. So what I can say is how COVID has affected families, because, you know, in my primary business, we work with families, hundreds of families throughout the community. And one of the things that we've noticed is just the fear, right? The fear of contracting the virus and how it can run through your house. And then the protocols that have to be followed if and when you do have the virus, right? So let's say the virus comes into my household. So that means my whole household would ideally be exposed to someone that has COVID or direct contact with someone that has COVID. So that would be my house, right? And so that means I would be out of, I would have to shut myself down for 2 weeks, 14 days in theory, right? As long as I don't, if I get a positive test back. So let's say I tested positive. So I would have to shut down for 14 days or longer until the virus has run its course, and, you know, keep my fingers crossed, praying the Lord can keep me here to continue to do what I do and the gifts that he's given me. I'm able to survive that time period. But now, not only do I have to quarantine for the 14 days, my wife, who works in the university, she would have to quarantine for 14 days. And then my kids would have to quarantine for 14 days or longer. So as you can see, this can have a drastic effect on the family. So now we're not even talking about the virus itself and what the virus could possibly do to your house and to your household, but it's also the effects that it can have on your life per se. So literally you're putting your life on pause for about 14 days, 21 days, however long it could be. Again, I haven't myself or my family hasn't experienced it yet. You know, knock on wood, keep our fingers crossed that it doesn't come to us. But we've known families that have gone through it. We know people that have gone through it. So we understand the process that goes into it and understand what the recommendations are. So that being said, now you have that happening. This is how it's affecting your family. So not only is it affecting your family in the sense where you have to quarantine for 14 days and pretty much put your life on hold, but you also now have your family that are dealing with the actual virus and where the virus goes. So maybe I have the virus now, but my wife doesn't show up for 4 days. Now she has a virus. So now her 14 days will be extended, right? And then my son gets the virus. Now his days will be, so it extends everything, right? So it can turn into, you know, what you figure is 14 days, depending on when the virus is shown in the household and from the family, it can extend out even further, right? So this virus is a very serious virus, and we kind of need to take it serious, and we need to do our part to make sure we're trying to do our very best to keep each other safe. Again, that being said, we have to be able to live. We have to be able to go out. We have to be able to work. Families have to be able to work. For us, we have a really unique opportunity where we are able to offer a remote learning program where the kids can come to our facility and do their hybrid learning, or come to our facility and do their remote learning. But again, think about the stress that it is on families. Some families don't have the ability to have their children go to remote learning, so they have to be home with their kids doing the remote learning. And if they don't have the ability to work from home while they are remote learning with their kids because they're not able to go back to school, or there's days they can't go back to school, that affects their household again, right? So again, we're talking about the dynamics of just the virus coming into your house, right? And how that will affect you. And now we talk about, you're not even dealing with the virus itself yourself, but just how society has kind of gone on and how we had to adjust to our regular day working in life and how things have adjusted through this virus and how it affects the family. So again, there's a lot of ways that this virus has really, really changed, I believe, how many of us live, right? It changed how many of us live and what we do and what we don't do, how we conduct our day and what we do within our day, to make sure that we're keeping ourselves safe, our family safe, and all of our friends and people that we come in contact with safe as possible. But again, this virus is so invisible that you just don't know with and when your time is to come when you have to face it and deal with it. So again, guys, I just need you guys to kind of just take this virus as serious as possibly as you can. And when I say that again, but also be able to live your life too. You know, follow all the protocols that you need to be able to follow. Do all the things you need to be able to keep you safe, keep your family safe, and keep the people close around you safe. And then that's the best that you can do. That goes with anything, guys. And as we come into the new season of flu and cold and things like that, it's going to be hard to know which is which, and including the coronavirus. So again, just keeping yourself safe, keeping your hands clean, keeping your body filled with good nutrients and vitamins and things that you need to keep yourself strong and to fight off any type of thing that may be trying to enter to you. And just stay strong that way, guys. All right. So again, I want to thank you guys for joining me. I want to talk a little bit about the COVID and the effects that it had on human life and on our families. And in the next episode, we're going to really dive into how the COVID has affected business and small business and how it's really taken a toll on our economy and just the things that people do for their livelihood, right? So the next episode, guys, that's what we're going to talk about. I want to thank you guys for joining with me right now, and I will see you all really soon. We want to thank our sponsors, LiviaFit.com. One of our sponsors, she's an amazing fitness instructor and fitness coach. She's also a nutritionist as well. So if you're looking for some fitness exercises and some nutrition, some help with nutrition, she's definitely the one you want to contact. Again, that is LiviaFit.com. We want to also welcome, thank our sponsor, Never Stop Believing Clothing Line and Coaching. Again, guys, we're really excited for the new line that we have out, the fall line, Never Stop Believing fall line. Get out and vote, guys. It's going to be really important. And we just want to thank everyone for being avid listeners, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon. Talk to you soon, guys. Next episode, small business and how it's affected by coronavirus. Hey, what's up, guys? We are back. We're going to continue this topic on this COVID-19 coronavirus. Now we're going to get into how this coronavirus has affected small business. So, and I won't just say small business. I'm going to say all businesses, big corporation business. You see a lot of corporations that are folding and closing and shutting down. But my primary focus is the area that I'm in and the area that some of you guys may be in as well that are listening to this podcast. And this is the area of small business. Now, if you're like me, I don't know, some of you guys may never had to shut down or maybe did not have to close your business. But up here in New York, man, I remember the day. It was March 13th. They said everything must shut down on March 13th. That was a Friday. They were shutting down the schools. And then come Monday, they shut down all the small businesses. It started out being shut down for 2 weeks. 2 weeks we're going to shut you guys down for. No business. Everyone sits still. And I don't know about any of you guys. I have a very difficult time sitting still. So during that 2 weeks, I happened to go out and just kind of go back and forth to my business because I couldn't stay away, right? It's part of my daily routine, my daily life. It's my second home, you know, so I had to go. I would go and I would just go and just sit in the facility. I would just walk around. I would just look at, you know, just the journey it took us to get to where we are and where we were at that moment and everything that we put into getting there and to realize that, man, like, We got to shut down for 2 weeks. Like we had a big camp that was coming up for our students, and you know, schools were shutting down. And then on that Monday, I believe it was March 16th, they came out that all businesses had to close down at 8 p.m. and be shut down for that same time period. Now, our industry at the time was registered as in the fitness industry. So we were health club, gym, things of that nature. So with that being said, when they shut us down and when they shut those gyms down, they shut us down as well. And it kept going longer. And then it kept going longer. And again, Within the first couple of weeks, as I said, when I was driving, just going back and forth to the school in my home, the streets were just quiet. There was no cars out. There were no people out. You know, they only had the grocery stores open. So maybe people went to the grocery stores. Then our county did a go shopping on A, B, anyone from A through M go shopping on Monday, Tuesday. Anyone from N through Z go shopping on Thursday, Friday. And everyone just stays home on Wednesday and on the weekends. And everyone just stays home. And literally, it's, again, I would say, you know, obviously you have people that don't follow and don't listen to things that are recommendations to help keep you and your loved ones and everyone safe. There are some people that don't listen to that, right? But I would say the majority of the people in our community absolutely follow that protocol and what was asked of them to do. And I'm really proud of our community for being able to do that, because, man, these streets were quiet. There was no one out. There was nothing happening. All right. So then it extends, right? It goes 2 weeks, now turns into two more weeks. So now we're looking at a month of our business being shut down. So now at that point, the COVID thing is now picking up. It's creating more momentum. New York State is having 700-800 deaths a day. Let me just say that one more time. COVID-related deaths, 700-800 deaths a day. Now, there's going to be people that are going to listen to this podcast and they're like, oh, those were all fabricated numbers. They were loping in this, da, 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 da. Listen. Okay, let's just say the numbers are fabricated. Let's just say. Out of 780 deaths that were related to COVID, really, really only 450 to 500 were related to COVID. Everything else was some other type of death. Maybe it was a car accident. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. 450 deaths a day is still a lot of deaths. Like, don't get that twisted, people. Don't get it. Don't get like, oh, well, they were looping it in because they got this, they got that. That's a lot of deaths. Regardless, there is not one state that is seeing 500 to 700 or 800 deaths a day. At one point, it was like 900 deaths in one day. So listen, I get it. I totally understand, man. We need to sit down for a little bit. We need to lay low. But as a business owner, you have to understand that everything that I'm going through and that I'm feeling and that we're going through, My clients and the people that are with me and that come to our program, that know the design of our program, how our program is, they're going through their own anxieties, their own family things, their own financial burdens of not being able to work and not being able to collect any income coming in. And for my business, I look at my business it's a commodity, right? It's a commodity. It's not a necessity. Now, when I say that, I believe that what we offer for people in our program and people that come to our program is important and is needed, right? It's a lot of development, a lot of growth, a lot of personal protection, just a lot of confidence, a lot of things that people need in the world. I believe that is important that they have in their life. And I believe our program does provide that for them. But I also understand that it is extra, right? So if you go to the grocery store, you can see what happened when we had the whole COVID thing. What happened? What did everyone buy? Everyone bought toilet paper. They ain't go buy a bunch of ketchup. They bought toilet paper. You know why they bought toilet paper? Because you need toilet paper. You don't need ketchup. You don't need mustard. Right? All those things are extra. But the essential things is what families had to focus on during this time. The essential things, keeping whatever income they do have coming in as close to the chest as possible and not having the extra that they know ketchup as an experience, and they know that this other commodity as an experience and something to their life that they enjoy. But during this time, they can't afford to get that extra ketchup or that extra commodity that they bring into their life. Them and their families have to hone in on staying in the proximity of what they can do, because we don't know how long this is going to last. Now, as a business owner and as a small business owner, that I can tell you, I didn't know what we were going to do. I had, man, you talk about 1 month, then you talk about a second month, and then you talk about a third month. And yes, we were able to get a couple of loans to kind of help us stay afloat, which again doesn't help because you give us small businesses these loans, but we don't have the revenue coming in to be able to pay those loans back at the time. Like this is just you want me to bring my staff back in, right? Bring my staff back in, pay my staff for something that we don't know if we're ever going to be able to open up again. So in turn, my staff that was out on unemployment, right? Those staff members that was collecting unemployment will come back and then possibly to find out a month later, 2 months later, that we got to shut down again and they got to go back to unemployment. That doesn't give them a sense of stability, right? And again, we were able to, for our business, we were able to pivot and make some adjustments. And although we weren't able to open back up for my primary business, we were able to open up for an essential business, which would have been our summer camp that we run for families in our community. And because we were able to open up for our summer camp, I was able to bring back my staff and giving them some stability, at least through the summer, where they're able to, you know, have some income coming in. Parents needed a place for their kids to go because now they had to go back to work. So now you're talking month one, month two, still in month three, 3 months of being closed. 3 months of being closed. Something you built over the last 10 years. And in the last 5 years, you've seen probably your greatest growth. Before COVID came about, you had all these plans within how you were going to push forward in the next 3 to 4 months. So before COVID came, starting in February, you were already making January and February, you were already making your plans for what was going to happen April, May, and June. And then how you're going to go from April, May to June into July, August, and then start to September and into October, right? You had this vision as to, and then the COVID thing just shut everything down. And it put you in a space where you just didn't even know what was going to happen. Now, how does it affect the small business? Again, as a small business, we have clients that actually pay us for our service. And as I explained earlier, our service is an extra service. So because we're an extra service during this time, you have families that have to make a choice because they don't know what the future is going to be. You have some families that are out of work. They're not able to work. Right? So they don't know what their future is going to be. So they're going to cut down. They're going to cut back. I would say during the 3 months that we had, we lost almost over 70 clients. 70 clients. That's a lot of clients to lose. A lot of clients to lose. We worked so hard to get to where we were at, to literally be shut down and to not be able to offer our program to families, let alone not just families that wanted our program, but families that chose not to come to our program because of what was going on. Now, for us, we had the ability to save some of our students. I said 70. You know, we still were able to keep our numbers over 100, which is great, right? Our client base over 100 during that time. So again, when I speak on that, we were able to run Zoom classes. Everybody went to Zoom. Everybody's doing stuff virtually. It was great. You know, we were able to do that. That was able to maintain and keep some consistency for our families, because the families that walked away, I totally get it. I understand. But the families that stayed, they knew the importance for the kids to have something that was normal, something that was helping them kind of get through this time. Socialization, interaction, talking, having someone encouraging them, coaching them, and doing the things that we do within our program, right? So it was important to parents that the kids still had that, because now they were taken away from school for 3 whole months, taken away from school, no social interaction with any other kids. In theory, ideally, for the most part, no instruction, no direction, no encouragement. So it was just the parents and them, right? And I know as a parent, I want to be the best parent that I possibly can be. But it's always great to have an additional person that is in my son's or my daughter's lives that could help enhance their life as well. And the parents that were able to stay with us, I felt they saw that and the importance of it. And they made our program as important as their toilet paper, right? Now, again, I get there's still a difference, but they made our program that was as important as a toilet paper. And as a small business owner, we truly, truly, truly appreciate that. Because without those families, our doors probably would have closed, just as many other businesses had to close as well, right? So again, this thing had a real devastating effect on small businesses, right? Now let's talk about the businesses that were able to survive. Fortunately for us, because we had to pivot our focus and what we were doing, originally a little bit more different from what we had originally had, our base had been, we had to pivot, right? If you didn't pivot during this COVID, you are not surviving. You are not going to make it. If you do not pivot during this new normal that we're going into, if you do not make adjustments that you had to make into whatever it is that you offer to your clients and to the service that you provide, if you didn't make a pivot into how you provide that service, still giving the impact on someone's life, giving them the experience that they need, and providing a service that's going to help them get to a better place, right? If you do not pivot during this time, you will not make it. You will not survive. Because the next wave is coming. The next wave of COVID is coming. If you did not pivot and put yourself in a position where you're able to get through this next wave that's going to come until they come out with this vaccine, get to this next wave that's going to come, you probably will not survive the next wave. For us and our program, we had to make an adjustment. We had to shift. We had to pivot. And we were able to do that. And at this moment, again, I can't speak for the future because we don't know what this future, what's going to end up happening. But at this moment, I believe that we will be able to weather the next storm because now we're more prepared, right? So again, if you did not pivot, being that if you're not requiring people to have their mask on when they're in your facility and walking around within your facility, or if you're not able to have people in your facility that are able to maintain social distance within your facility, whether they're in their training, working, doing whatever, not able to maintain their social distance, not having the ability to be able to maintain social distancing within their area and the times that they're in with you, they should be wearing a mask, right? So if you don't have that protocol put in place already, then you're behind the curve. Now, I know some people are like, listen, we don't have to wear masks. You can do whatever you want, blah, 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 blah. That's cool. Go ahead and do that. It's not something I'm going to do. Because I believe the majority of people want to feel safe and comfortable going to a place. And right now, what makes someone feel safe is knowing that you have certain protocols in place to help keep their family safe when they come to you. Now, they understand. People understand. This virus is invisible. You can get it from anywhere. People understand that. But as long as they see that you are putting forth the effort to have preventive measures to help keep them safe, that gives them a sense of comfort because they know that they can't just stay cooped up in their house. They can't just stay locked up, but they want to go in places that they know people are following a certain protocol to help keep them safe when they're within your environment and within you. Right? How important is that? So if you haven't made these shifts and kind of made these adjustments to help, then that's a challenge, right? Temperature checks. People say, oh, temperature check doesn't matter because someone could be asymptomatic. We all get that. We all get that someone can be asymptomatic. We know that. We all know that. But if someone comes into your facility and they have a temperature over 99 or 100, they shouldn't be in your facility. How do you know that when they come in? You don't know that if you don't have a thermometer or some type of temperature check when someone comes in. So it is important. Although people say it doesn't mean anything, you're absolutely right. We all get that. Someone could be asymptomatic. We all get it. That's a strong possibility that could be, right? But when they come in and you have this protocol in place, it helps families feel a sense of security, a sense of safety that you do have some type of safety measure to kind of make sure no one's just coming in your facility that you're aware of that is ill or could potentially be sick. If you're not having any disinfectant stations or spaces where people can disinfect their hands, you are not going to survive. Yes, wash your hands in the sink. Great. Got to be able to do that. Absolutely. Right. But disinfectant stations is so important. You have to make sure that you have the ability for someone comes into your facility that their hands are being clean because you don't know what they were doing before they came in. Right now, when they're in their facility, their hands are clean. You want to make sure they're doing that. When they leave your facility, you should make sure their hands are being clean. If you're not taking those steps to make sure that your business is moving into the new normal, this is going to be the new normal for right now for a little while. It's the new normal. Then you're behind the curve. Right. The next thing. You have to be keeping your facility clean. Clean, clean, clean. And I'm talking disinfectant clean. I'm talking your facility should be clean that when someone walks into your space, they can smell how clean your space is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they walk into your facility, they should smell how clean your space is. They should see your staff taking moments and times where they are cleaning and getting things straight and getting things in order and trying to disinfect when you have a transition of people coming in and out, right? These are things that you got to have in place for your business to survive. Coronavirus has affected small business, probably more than corporate business. And here's another reason why it's affected small business, because as a small business, we are a community-based business, right? And even within our community, my employees mean so much to me. I'm not a big corporation. I don't have 500, 600 employees. I'm not the head of a corporation, and I don't even know my employees. I know every single one of my employees, and I know them very, very well, right? So when my business doesn't survive, I know that it doesn't just affect me. It affects my employees and the people that work with me to build the program that we're able to build. And that means a lot to me. So me not following the steps that I have to do to make sure that we provide a facility and a place that my employees and the people that work with and for me are able to thrive and be at their very best and also be safe and feel safe and have people that come into them needing them to help provide a certain service for them at the highest level they possibly can, given the situation and the circumstances that we're in, I need to make sure all these things are in place as a small business owner. And you need to do the same too. Listen, don't be that business owner that says, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, you're not going to tell me what to do. Because I tell you what, it will all come back and bite you in the butt. It's going to come back and bite you. I'm going to say ass. It's going to come back and bite you in the ass. How's that? Or, yeah, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. In the long run, that's what's going to happen. Because you're not going to take the steps that you're supposed to take. Someone's going to claim they got it from your facility. And now all of a sudden, boom, you're going to be in a situation. Right? So you got to take the protocols, guys. You got to do your part to make sure you're keeping everyone safe in your facility, in your business, if you want to survive this next round, the next wave of COVID. Guys, again, this is my take on COVID-19, the coronavirus, how it's affected small business. I hope you're able to take something from it. I hope you're able to adjust and pivot how you need to and where you need to be successful in this new normal that we're going into. We're going into a new normal. This is going to be different. This is not the flu. This is not the cold. I don't even know what the swine flu was. I remember it, but I don't remember. I don't think it affected me at all, right? It's not Ebola, right? It's not Triple E or whatever that other thing was. This is something different. And if anyone's going to play and act like it ain't different, you're wrong. You're totally wrong. This is something different. But doesn't mean that we can't strive and we can't be successful and we can't still provide a service to people in our community to be able to provide them the very best that we possibly can. Nothing's stopping us from being able to do that. We just have to adjust. We have to pivot within what we're doing and where we're at and the new times that we're in. So guys, I hope this helps you guys out. I hope you enjoyed the video or the message here today, not video, but the message in our podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, LiviaFit.com. LiviaFit.com, LiviaFit, Veronica Tierney, Dyer Tierney. She's a fitness enthusiast and expert, as well as a diet, helps you with nutritions and things of that nature. So if you're looking for some help in fitness and personal trainer, she does online personal training. She can give you workouts that you can do. Check her out. It's LiviaFit.com. You can check her out on Instagram, LiviaFit.com. Check her out on her Facebook page, group page. It's Facebook, OliviaFit.com as well. We also want to thank Never Stop Believing Clothing Line and Coaching and Movement. We're really excited, guys. We want you to never stop believing. That's what our message is about. Our message is to help you guys believe that anything is possible as long as you don't give up. Sometimes you have to pivot, but you don't stop pushing to where you're trying to go, right? Never Stop Believing as our podcast. And again, guys, I just want to thank you all. You guys are doing an amazing job. Stay out there. Keep your head up, guys. Stay strong. You will continue to get through this. And reach out to me if you guys have any questions or need some encouragement. I'm here for you. Have a great day, and we'll see you all soon. And we out. Bye.